Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another episode of the podcast. My name is Warren. I will be your host for today's show, and I am also, in this instance, going to be your guest as well. Now, don't worry. I'm not going to make this too weird by asking myself questions, pretending to be someone else, answering them, whatever it may be. No, I'm simply going to ramble on briefly about something very interesting that's come over our desk here recently that I really think you guys are going to enjoy and benefit from. Because certainly here, we do a lot of nutritional geek work. And I do appreciate that not everyone wants to spend their working life, their nights, their evenings, and their spare time diving deep into the world of scientific food reports, nutritional studies, and government legislation. It is almost as dull as it sounds. But on a mission to build a fitter future for people everywhere, some of this information we feel should be shared, but it should be digestible, tasty, a little morsel, something you can enjoy, rather than something you have to painfully wade through with the assistance of a very high-powered pair of spectacles, not to mention a medical thesaurus and dictionary. So look, what I want to go into today is the subject of junk food. What is it and why does it matter? Which, on the face of it, this sounds like a laughably simple topic to be dealing with. After all, junk food, well, the clue is really in the name. It's junk. You might enjoy it. You might eat it sometimes. You might eat it all the time. You might never eat it. We're not here to either look into which camp you're in or judge in any shape or form. The point is, junk food's one of the most honest groups of food out there. It's junk. We know what it is. So regardless of whether you enjoy it, regardless of whether you eat it, we all know where we stand with it. The problem then comes in, how do you define junk food? Now, I'm going to guess that if I said to you, what is junk food? Some of the major fast food outlets would pop into your head. Maybe some of the most popular soft drinks in the world would pop into your head as well, along with a number of confectionery bars, bags of sweets, whatever. That would all fit, probably some crisps too. Those are your obvious culprits in that space. But it goes a little further than that. It really, junk food can start to veer into the world of processed food. And now we're getting complicated because I think it's quite common for processed food to be demonized. Shouldn't eat processed food. Well, technically, a fruit smoothie is a processed food. Chuck a load of bananas and a load of oranges and some nuts in the blender, spin it all up and you have created a processed food. But actually, it's got all of the nutrients that were in your banana, your orange, and your nuts to start with. You haven't lost a single one. You're just making them a bit more digestible and also easier to get into your daily nutritional intake. So actually, there's a processed food that's very, very good for you. All processed food is not bad. And you can see where, as the worlds of junk food and processed food collide, we've got a bit of a trick. How do we work out which ones are good and which ones are bad? And beyond that, why should this even matter? After all, a bit like alcohol, assuming you have a healthy relationship with it, have a drink when you fancy. You know, everyone knows it's not going to actually make you faster, but you might have quite a nice evening and you might enjoy that. So no problems there. And shouldn't junk food be the same thing? Well, sort of. But in between that space where junk food and processed foods collide is a funny world. And it's a funny world where a lot of products are marketed across the spectrum of food. They're either low calorie or they're low sugar. They might be high protein. They might be all of the above. They might be gluten free. They might be for a specific dietary type. Vegan foods are a great example. You know, something like a meat replacement burger. Well, that's probably a bit better for you than an actual burger. But it's a very, very processed piece of food, and it bears little relation to some fruit and vegetables growing out of the ground. How healthy can it really be? And at this point, if you are looking to maintain, help keep a good balance to a healthy diet for your own well-being and performance, these things start to get a bit tricky to navigate. And it can almost get so tricky to navigate at times that, well, let's face it, we're all busy, we've all got things to do. it's easier just to carry on doing what you've ever done and forget about studying it at all. Which is where this fascinating report that I want to go into today comes into play. Now, I hope you are ready for some excitement, because the name of this report, really snappy. I don't really understand why this is not a bestseller and has gone viral straight away. It's called Ultra Processed Foods, Diet Quality and Health Using the NOVA Classification System. See, I told you it was catchy. And this has been shared. They make it very clear that this is not about endorsing it, but it is about sharing. It's been shared by the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations. And what the NOVA classification system that they refer to there, what it does is it divides processed foods, so it divides all foods, into four categories based on their degree of processing. So you go from unprocessed foods in group one through to ultra processed foods in group four. The point being, ultra processed foods in group four unanimously are junk foods. Regardless of what they are claiming on the label, what they're claiming to be on the packet, you do not need to be a nutritional rocket scientist to spot an ultra-processed food once you know what it is. And that way, you can now go, okay, I know this is junk food. You can make that call yourself. You are now armed with the information. If you like it and you want it and you enjoy it, go for it. But if you're surprised that it's a piece of junk food and actually you were eating it thinking it was good for you, now you're able to make that informed decision easily. So let's go a little further. We've got, as I said, four groups. And the importance for this is not simply to be able to spot a junk food hiding in plain sight behind its shiny marketing cover. It is more because ultra-processed foods in the huge studies that NOVA have undertaken, and literally at times these have undertaken many thousands of people and have been corroborated by other studies globally backing them up. I'll supply the report in the show notes below. You'll get a link to it. So if you do want to go and check this out, you can. But just know that the evidence behind this is at a huge scale. It basically links ultra-processed foods to increased obesity, increased heart disease, all types, increased overall cancer, increased depression, and increased all-cause mortality, which is a sort of nutritional medical report way of saying death. And now, a quick word from our sponsors. The most excellent, most wonderful, most natural 33 Fuel Natural Sports Nutrition. Just remember, when you're looking for the best possible nutrition products for your performance, your health, and your well-being, get yourselves over to 33fuel.com. The stuff doesn't cost any more than ordinary sports nutrition. The difference is it's made with transformatively better ingredients. You've got tastier results. You've got better results. You've got healthier results. So look, get yourselves over to 33fuel.com. And now let's get back to the show. So what they're really saying there is your group four ultra processed foods, as defined by the NOVA Food Classification System, they're the ones that are going to really mess you up. Eat less or eat none. Certainly be aware of what they are and when you're eating them. So as they summarise themselves at the end of the report, consistent evidence accumulated by studies with different design undertaken in a great number of countries shows that the displacement of non-ultra-processed foods, i.e. the reduction in availability or eating of these less processed foods and unprocessed foods by ultra-processed foods, i.e. the rise of ultra-processed food compared to everything else, increases the risk of obesity and several other diet-related non-communicable diseases and also premature mortality. So you get it. They're the bad guys. Processed food, not necessarily bad. Junk food, well, we all know what the obvious culprits are. But group four ultra-processed foods, they are your real bad boys in there. They're the ones that are going to shorten your life. They're the ones that are going to increase the chances of something unpleasant happening to you in later years or earlier. And whereas there is no guarantee, I mean, let's face it, some people live the healthiest lives ever and are tragically taken away young with cancer or with heart disease or with whatever else it may be. There is no guarantee that any of us are going to miss any of these things, but we can certainly stack the deck in our favor. As one American doctor put it, he said, I don't mind dying of heart disease or cancer or any other of the major lifestyle killers. I just don't want it to be my fault. And that's what it's about. Stack the deck in your favor. Keep off the ultra-processed foods and at least know what they are. So let's go through those four groups quickly so that you guys don't have to try and wade through this thing in full length. Your four groups of foods, as defined by the NOVA Food Classification System in all its snappy and delightful glory, are, starting at the best, Group 1, unprocessed and minimally processed foods. These are unprocessed natural foods, the edible parts of plants or foods directly from animals, and also fungi, algae, and water after separation from nature. So if you've got a bit of dried algae straight out of the pond and you're chowing down that, or a hunk of animal that's been directly removed from the animal, or you know, some plants or berries or nuts, well, there you go, bingo. Unprocessed food, natural, go for it. Minimally processed foods. These are natural foods that are altered by methods including removal of inedible or unwanted parts. So peeling an orange, technically you've taken the orange from a completely unprocessed food to a minimally processed food, but you're still getting all the goodness. So group one, good for you, unadulterated. Other minor processes that don't affect any of the goodness include drying, crushing, grinding, powdering, fractioning, filtering, roasting, boiling, pasteurization, chilling, freezing, and vacuum packaging. So you get your peas frozen. Well, technically, that's a minimally processed food. But we all know that freezing locks in all that goodness pretty quickly. A frozen pea is a really good thing to get. Those are your group ones. They're real foods. Eat as much as you like. That's what pretty much anyone would define quite naturally as an unprocessed food. And just to go on to the some of those processes include there, drying, crushing, grinding, well, that's going to start including your herbs and spices, salts, peppers, chilies, paprikas, turmerics, whatever they may be, directly powdered from the raw natural ingredient. You know, if you're looking for turmeric, don't get a turmeric extract or anything like that. Just get some powdered turmeric. Bingo. There it is. Put it in your food. Absolutely delicious. Although, do make sure you brush your teeth a little more often. Otherwise, they're going to stain. I digress. Time. We got to group two. We're now moving up the ladder. Where are we? We are into processed culinary ingredients. Again, these are still all good. These include oils, butter, lard, sugar, and salt. Substances derived from a group one food, i.e. straight out of the original natural source, and derived from nature by processes such as refining, grinding, milling, drying. Now, some of you might be thinking, hang on, you've just said butter, lard, sugar, salt, good. This is all in moderation. The point here is, in isolation, a processed culinary ingredient here in group two is unbalanced. If you only eat butter, lard, sugar, and salt, that's not going to do you any good at all. But the key point, as they explain here, is that these foods are rarely, if ever, consumed by themselves. They are used in combination with group one foods to make palatable, diverse, nourishing, enjoyable meals and dishes, such as stews, soups, broths, salads, breads, and desserts. They are ingredients. They are natural. They are whole foods. You eat them in very small quantities. Carry on. Group three. Now we're getting into processed food. And this is where, you know, everyone thinks that processed food is now all foods that are highly processed. And this is where NOVA splits the difference. Group three are your processed foods, and the demons, the bad boys we're going to come to at the end, number four, are ultra-processed foods. Before we get there, we have to go through group three. So processed food, canned or bottled vegetables, whole fruit, preserved in syrups, tinned fish. We're also getting into processed meats, bacon, ham, those sorts of things. Most freshly baked breads and simple cheeses to which salt is added. So here you get your salt, oil, sugar, or whatever from group two. You add them to the group one products and you make something new out of it. We're now starting to step a good chunk further away from the original natural whole food. Many of the times, processing is to make foods last longer, to make them able to be sold or transported more easily. In the right places, all of this stuff makes more food accessible to more people, makes it more economical. Generally, it's a good thing. So a processed food in group three is usually going to have the same basic identity and main constituent parts of your original foods, but it is going to be getting a little more nutritionally unbalanced because there might start to be getting excess sugar, excess oil, excess salt, excess fat. We're moving in a wrong direction here. So how does it really differ when we get to group four? These are the ultra processed foods. So these are formulations of ingredients, mostly of exclusive industrial use, typically created by a series of industrial techniques and processes. And the real key here is when you look at an ultra processed food, it's going to share several common attributes. It's likely to have quite a long shelf life. It's likely to be what they call hyper palatable, like you eat it and you really want more of it. Pringles, once you pop, you can't stop. Well, there's a reason for that. It's been engineered to do that. They've worked out the taste point and the right amount of crunch and the right amount of how it affects your palate and the way the fat, the sugar, and or the salt combine and all the other things in order to go, oh, I just want more of that. And it's not, this is not unique to Pringles. That's just a common example. The point is, these are foods that have been engineered. They use ingredients that you would never find in a kitchen, that you would never consider to use in a recipe. They use processes you would never use in a kitchen or in a recipe or anything else. Processes that have several steps and use different industries. They'll often fractionalize a whole food into multiple component parts, which will then go through a load of other processes to become something else. The ingredients that you'll often find in them, they are either food substances that are of no or rare culinary use. Like I said, you're not going to expect that you're going to be cooking or using these things. I'm just looking for the identification process here. Here we go. So you're going to look, if you're looking for an ultra-processed food, you're looking for ingredients that are food substances never or rarely used in kitchens, or classes of additives whose function is to make the final product palatable or more appealing. Because when you process food ingredients to this degree and in this industrial manner, you literally strip out all of the original things that gave it taste, texture, flavor. So you need to add them back in. You need to add sweeteners. You need to add thickeners. You need to add colorants. You need to add flavors. When you're doing that, when all those things are being added into a product, it's a shining bright light that that's an ultra-processed food, because literally it's been so processed, it's been left pretty much about as tasty as a bit of chipboard and about that nutritious. They've got to find a way to get you to eat it, to make it hyper-palatable, so that all that marketing that goes behind it is worthwhile, because you're not just going to buy it once, you're going to keep buying it. And the other part of this is that the processes themselves, you're looking for things like extrusion or where are the others? Sorry, I'm going to have to dig these out of the notes here. Emulsifiers, anything artificial, anything that a bulking agent, a foaming agent, a gelling agent, a glazing agent, literally not the way you would make anything in your own kitchen at home. So these are your ultra processed foods. Look out for very long ingredients lists that are full of things that when you look at them, you realize they're either only just related to the original ingredients they came from, or you can't even work out where they're from. Multiple additives, flavorings, preservatives, colorants, any of those to go back in because the processing has taken too much out. And all of these signs, those are the ones that you are now looking at an ultra-processed food. It doesn't matter whether it says, you know, this is plant-based or this is low-calorie or this is low-sugar. Those ultra-processed foods, that basically is junk foods in a nutshell. So I realise this. We started off simple here. Junk food, what is it and why does it matter? And we've gone pretty deep there into the NOVA food classification system. But I really feel that way of looking at food gives you a very smart barometer on eating well, looking after yourself, and stacking the deck in your favor for your health and performance. Whole foods, eat as many as you like. Things that are being processed directly from Whole Foods, whether it's a smoothie, whether it's a spice, a herb, whether it is a peanut butter, for example. You know, if you make your own peanut butter and chuck it in the blender, or even you get some of the quality ones out there that literally are just ground up peanuts, all good. Only things that are lightly processed. Even pulses and chickpeas that have gone in a can in water, well, that's moving into group two or group three. But you're still getting the whole food at the end of the day. It's made it available to you more easily. When you get to the point where the food is literally being extruded, created, mashed together, all of the fiber is being lost in that process. All of the nutrients that existed in any of those whole foods at the beginning of their journey, they've gone through so many different processes. They're not there anymore. They've been hydrolyzed. They've been dehydrated. I don't know what they've done to them. But you've lost all of that good stuff. And it's had to be rebuilt from the ground up in order to make it hyper-palatable, hyper-attractive, last forever. Those are the ones to keep an eye out for, because they're not really going to do you any favors in the long run. So look, I hope that diversion into the world of junk food there has been entertaining. I hope I've kept it light and short for you as well. But just really enjoyed that subject and felt it's something that you guys would enjoy knowing about. Let us know if that hit the spot for you. Was it completely off point? Do you want more shows like this? Do you want less shows like this? We are listening and we are here to serve you with the best possible podcast we can. As ever, this show is of course brought to you by 33 Fuel Natural Sports Nutrition, the only, the finest, the most wonderful, beautiful place you could ever get natural sports nutrition for your active lifestyle, whatever level you're at. So do make sure you get over to 33fuel.com. The report is attached in the notes below. And rest assured that we will be back next episode with a real guest alongside the host. It won't just be me rambling on. I'm quite excited about this guest as well. I'm not going to give anything away now, but I do promise you it should be a great episode. So look, thanks very much for joining me. Thanks very much for listening. Check out the report in the notes below. Check out 33 Fuel at 33fuel.com and look forward to seeing you soon.